Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you're a regular listener, you probably know about Dear Prudence, the Slate columnist who regularly doles out sage advice and sound wisdom to the confused readers of the internet, and who has been on this show from time to time to share her advice with our listeners. But we have big Prudence news, and that is there's a new Prudy in town, and her name is Mallory Ortberg, co-founder of feminist-minded blog The Toast and author of the New York Times bestseller Texts from Jane Eyre. Mallory takes over from Emily Offey, who did it for the last 10 years. Mallory, welcome to WNYC.
Hi.
So you've only held this position for a few weeks, yet judging by the confidence of your letters, you seem quite at ease giving advice to a wide swath of readers. How did you come to this confidence in giving advice?
Oh, well, I mean, it's a little hard to give advice, I think, if you don't have some confidence in it, because then you're just saying, please don't listen to me. So I would say it's equal parts assumed confidence, because you have to answer a question with confidence, and some just security in the fact that people are free to take or leave my advice as they like. And if they choose not to take it, they will probably be okay.
There you go. So why be timid? And listeners, we invite you to call up the new Dear Prudence and ask any holidays-related advice question. You don't do cooking advice, right? We should rule that out from the start.
I mean, I'm happy to offer my expertise, but I'm definitely not a cooking advice columnist.
She is leaving the oven door open a crack, however. But here's the kind of thing we have in mind, listeners. And the phone number is 212-433-WNYC. If you want to ask Prudy today, 212-433-9692. You offered some advice the other day to a sick Thanksgiving host. And it made me think, gosh, yeah, this could happen to anybody at any time. So the reader said, I'm having all these people over for Thanksgiving, but I got the flu.
Oh, yes, that was awful.
Tell me about that.
It also made me realize what a time of year to take over the Dear Prudence column. I wish I'd come by in the summertime as opposed to right before one of the most stressful times of year when everyone's traveling and visiting family and trying to make things perfect. But yes, that one was so sad. She came down with the flu and she wondered, you know, should I still try to host everything? Is it my fault? Should I be trying to arrange for my own replacement? And she, I think, mostly just needed permission to say, I am sick. I don't want to get any of you sick. And we're going to have to figure something else out.
Yeah, which seems to be the right answer, right? Don't stand on ceremony too much. Of course, if relatives are coming, you know, they're flying in from Kansas, they're going to stay with you, then it's another story. But she had a very capable husband, apparently, because she
yes.
offered that as another option. My husband will prepare the Thanksgiving dinner, and I'll check into a hotel to be sick by myself. Did you like
Which
that one?
Which sounds like an ideal situation, although, of course, you hope she doesn't get anyone at the hotel sick. So maybe there's not a perfect answer to any of this. But yeah, nobody wants a side of the flu with their Thanksgiving dinner. I think that she was right to step aside from food preparation duties.
Hotel workers' lives matter, says Dear Prudence. So for listeners who'd like to ask Mallory Ortberg, a.k.a. Dear Prudence on Slate, for advice about anything Thanksgiving relationship oriented or holidays in general, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for the next few minutes here. And Pat in Manhattan has one. Hi, Pat. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you? I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. My son just started a new job about 4 months ago, and we my son and I both know the people, you know, on a friendly level, and he was wondering, he asked me, should I buy them a holiday gift as an employee to an employer? And I wasn't sure how to answer it or what kind of general or generic gift he could get them that doesn't say, hey, you know, this is very personal, but it's a sort of a thank you for hiring me.
Wow, you have an incredibly thoughtful son, Pat.
Yeah, he is. He is very thoughtful. And I was kind of surprised when he asked me, because I said, see, I've been at my job 30 years, so my employer is, people have changed, so you don't really get, you know, too intimate with one boss, and you don't really, that's just not the culture. But this is sort of a different thing. He's kind of working as a team, and these are his older veteran team members that brought him into the fold. So he wants to make it sort of like thank you, but also a holiday gift.
Well, that's really thoughtful of him. I know it's not customary for employees to buy employers a gift. Usually if there's any gift giving at the workplace, it's done in a downward direction if it happens at all. So he's certainly not under any obligation to do it. But if he feels like there are really unusual circumstances, or he's just really excited about working with them, you know, I think something like a nice card and something edible but not super perishable would be really nice and wouldn't break the bank. Like, he certainly shouldn't get them anything very expensive. Maybe a nice kind of coffee if they're big coffee drinkers, or some really fancy tea, something that they could maybe keep in the office that feels appropriate and not too personal.
All right. Sounds like good advice. Pat, I'm going to give somebody else a shot here. Thank you very much. Good luck to you and your son. 212-433-WNYC if you have a Thanksgiving or holiday season advice question for the new Dear Prudence from Slate, Mallory Ortberg.
I hope all of these questions are just, my relatives have great jobs and want to do something nice for people that they like, and everything is great.
We should all have such problems. 212-433-9692. And John in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey, Brian. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Thank you. I love your show.
Thank you.
Here's my situation. My brother-in-law recently got diagnosed with cancer, and my family, which includes my wife and my two teenagers, are going out to one of the cities where Black Lives Matter protests are going on. Unfortunately, my two brothers-in-law have expressed at times racist views, and I'm concerned about trying to avoid stirring the pot if those issues come up. I know politics comes up a lot as far as a Thanksgiving faux pas, but I'm just looking for a little bit of, comfort in hearing that maybe I should stand down in this one, since I've got somebody with a serious medical condition, and that's going to be the focus of the Thanksgiving.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot going on, from cancer to racism. I'm so sorry about your brother-in-law.
Is he going to be
at the Thanksgiving dinner with you?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, certainly I would hope that with somebody with cancer at the dinner table, people wouldn't be trying to bring up really controversial subjects. It sounds like you're planning on kind of keeping him the focus of some of your attention, and hopefully
they can
do that as well.
I want to very much. My problem is that as time has gone on with my relationship, and this has been a 20-year marriage, which, thank knock on wood, has been through trials and tribulations, but it's going well. I found myself wanting to make a statement, but I don't feel like this is the time to do it. And I'm just trying to remind myself to be cool about this. And, you know, we can have a conversation privately, I guess, with my children about what's going on in the city that we're visiting.
Yeah, no, I think you're already thinking through this really thoughtfully, which is great. And I think you're right that Thanksgiving, especially when someone's just been diagnosed with a serious illness, is just not a great time for anyone to talk about something serious like racism, even if it's something that you want to talk about on some other time. Do you have the kind of family situation where, like, if things get pretty rough, you can say, I'm going to take a quick walk around the block and that's okay?
Well, that's the problem, is that once one does that, if I do that, the conversation kind of ends. So I think we also have a nephew who just got engaged. So there's a lot of joy and happiness with that, and they're going to be there as well. It's an interesting situation, and certainly the purpose of the trip was right after we found out about the diagnosis, we decided that it was time to get back out there. So we're doing it. I will just try to be mindful and not focus on the negatives in the world and try to be cool about it. So I appreciate it.
Well, and the nice thing is you've got some great stuff you can redirect. If stuff starts heading in a really fight-oriented direction, you can just ask your newly engaged relative some more questions like, hey, tell me again, like, how you proposed. That must have been so cool. So at least you have some conversational redirects that you can rely on.
John, good luck. Happy Thanksgiving. You had a column about, with, you know, answering a question from somebody with a sick husband that I thought was really interesting.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
The guy is slowly dying of Parkinson's disease, she says, and the wife has done everything in her power to care for her husband, and she's angry at him for not trying alternative therapies.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you tell her?
That one was really challenging. He had been diagnosed, I believe, something like 15 or 20 years ago, and she kind of was just asking for... He's at a point now where he's no longer mobile. He can't work. And she felt like there had been a lot of, like you said, alternate therapies, not like homeopathy, I should stress, like, you know, medically sound practices that could have been helpful to his physical mobility. And she felt like he hadn't availed himself of them and was just at a point now where, you know, she was saying essentially, I can't tell him these things anymore. He's at a point where he needs me, but I'm so angry and frustrated. I don't know how to care for him in a way that doesn't make me feel like I'm going crazy. And that, I think, is a problem for a lot of caretakers that people don't always talk about, that taking care of somebody with a chronic or a debilitating illness, especially if it's your partner, can be really hard, and a caretaker can sometimes be angry and frustrated and not know how to express those feelings. So I felt a lot of sympathy for her. I mean, you know, whether or not all of those things would have changed the outcome of his diagnosis, I certainly don't know. But I recommended that she get in touch. There's some resources with the AARP for caregivers. And I said, it sounds like, you know, she's got three kids. He's not going to be alive in a couple of years. And so I just recommended that now's the time to rely on friends and family and get herself to therapy, because she needs to be able to talk about this, and she can't talk about it with him. So to whatever extent she can get her friends and family to help her, between working
herself
and caretaking. I mean, she's got a lot on her plate, and it's hard because she can't take it out on him. He's ill, and it's much too late to say, I wish 15 years ago you had done things differently. But she shouldn't have to work full time and care for their children and care for him and just swallow all of her feelings
people
and pretend that everything's great.
Need respite care emotionally as well as physically.
Yeah,
I
and somebody else recommended looking into hospice and palliative care in her area, because they often can help take some of the burden off. And I thought that was a really great recommendation.
Emily in South Orange, you're on WNYC with the new Dear Prudence from Slate. Hi, Emily.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
I have a question about funding for holiday meals. I am away from home for Thanksgiving, and I have a friend coming in to visit me. And long story short, I'm now hosting Thanksgiving for a few friends, and it's turned into something a little larger than originally planned. And I'm for around six people, and I'm wondering how we're all in school right now, and so we're all kind of low on funding, and how appropriate is it to ask for other friends to pitch in when you're the one hosting?
Ooh, that's tricky. Thanks, Emily.
Right.
So you guys are all grad students?
Yes.
Okay. So it sounds like you've already invited people, and now you're wondering how, after having extended the invitation, can you bring up asking for money after the fact?
And I wonder if it's just something that I need to let go and deal with, I guess.
Well, I think it's definitely worth thinking about. It's difficult, especially when it's friends. I mean, I think, there's a reason people usually don't charge their family members for Thanksgiving. But it's also rough if you're on a really tight budget. You certainly don't want to have to like go into debt or not eat for the rest of the week just because you had to make dinner for a special occasion. Is it possible? I know we're really close to the day. Is there any way you can defray the costs, like by asking friends, hey, can you bring some wine? Can you bring the dessert? Is anybody else helping out, or are you just like 100% responsible for everything?
I, at this moment, because one friend is coming in from D.C., I'm 100% responsible for the meal, but you're right. Other friends are bringing wine and dessert.
Okay. Well, that's great. So, and I think, you know, there are worse things in the world than asking people, especially other grad students who understand your situation, if they would like to help defray the costs. I think probably it's best not to do it at the table when everyone's there. But I think it would be really...
Over your second glass of wine.
Yeah. And you know, especially since everyone's already invited, it may be possible that people will say, sorry, I can't kick in anything. And that'll just kind of be helpful to you to remember, okay, in the future, I might not want to host if I know I'm going to be shouldering
how
the
many
cost.
People, Emily?
Six, right?
Six.
Yeah. So that's a small group. Do you think she could just say to the group at some point, though you say not at the table, guys, this is voluntary, but this turned out to be really expensive for me. And if everybody could chip in, you know, $5 or $10, you know, if you can't, that's fine. But, you know, if you can, it would help me out.
Yeah,
something
I think
like
that would be great, especially because that way it's not any, you know, you're not asking any one person to give a large amount of money. And if they can, that's great. And if not, at least you spoke up about it and asked. So maybe, I don't know how close you are with all of them, but maybe you could call people beforehand and just let them know, hey, you know, just for the cost of kind of an expensive meal, if you can, I'd love it.
And then a dish or a bowl or something to leave money in, or is that worse than asking them to hand it to you?
I'm trying to think
or send it to you.
I'm trying to think of whether or not everyone's going to carry cash on them. I feel like whenever my friends and I split a check, we usually end up Venmoing or PayPaling each other, but that's not the case for everybody.
Right.
I mean, they can do it in their own time. They might not all have the cash with them on hand, but depending on how well you know them, you could just ask them.
And I don't have an ATM in my apartment, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, maybe this is the year that you put one in.
It seems like a good excuse.
Emily, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your
Friendsgiving.
Let's see. Do we have time for one more? Let's do one more quickie because it's a yes or no answer.
Okay.
Lara in Riverdale. You're on WNYC. Hi, Lara.
Hi. Really nervous about calling and talking about my question. By the way, I love your show.
Thank you.
So I suffer from depression, and I just started going to therapy, and we made like a breakthrough realizing that my parents are the root of all my problems and all my issues, and that's just the main reason why I'm depressed. They live out in Denver. I can't go for Thanksgiving to go see them because I have school, but I've been talking about going to see them for Christmas. Now, after talking to my therapist about this, I've been wondering if it is a good idea for me to go see them for Christmas just because of my depression.
I thought this was going to be a simpler one, so I apologize.
No,
because I don't want to give you short shrift or anything. But it's if the parents are the root of your problems, then you should you have... would you be announcing them today to them today? I'm not coming home for Thanksgiving after all.
Not necessarily today.
Yeah.
Well, they know that I'm not coming for Thanksgiving.
It's for the later holidays. I'm sorry.
It's just for like Christmas.
All right, Prudy, give her your best short take on this complicated problem.
Ryan, you really sucker punched me on this one. Well, Laura, I just want to say first of all,
sucker
I'm really glad
myself.
To hear that you're in therapy and that you're getting some help with your depression. That can be incredibly hard. And if you feel like right now you're in a place where to be in a room with your parents and to try to celebrate something or talk about other things that aren't your childhood issues would be really painful for you, then I would say give yourself freedom to not go. But if, on the other hand, you feel like you're getting a lot of great work done, you feel like maybe you'll be able to bring it up with your parents and establish something of a rapport, possibly rebuild a different relationship. I don't know. I don't want to make any sweeping statements. I don't know how painful your childhood was, so I certainly wouldn't encourage you to go back if you felt like it would really damage your mental health or set you back in some really painful way. So just check in with yourself. And if the idea sounds overwhelming and exhausting, give yourself the freedom to say, you know, I can't make the trip this year, and figure out a time that's not quite as heightened and stressful as Christmas to maybe start talking with them.
Okay.
Seeing them.
Thank you so much.
I hope that's helpful.
Thank you for calling. It sounds like this was tough for you, and I just appreciate your reaching out. And whatever you do, I just hope you feel a lot of freedom and peace with whatever decision that you make, and know that it's okay and it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it definitely took courage. And hey, Laura, call us. Call us again on other stuff, okay?
I will, definitely. Thank you so much.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
And we leave it there with Mallory Ortberg, the new Dear Prudence on Slate. You may know her as co-founder of the feminist-minded blog The Toast and author of the New York Times bestseller Texts from Jane Eyre. Thank you for being so thoughtful and fun on the show today. Look forward to doing this with you again.
Anytime, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
You too.